Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Welcome again this week to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Now, all last week, Gloria and I were talking about the fact that we've been redeemed from sickness and disease. So let's go back to where we were in the third chapter of the book of Galatians. And we'll read, it starts talking about faith all the way through here. Where the 13th verse, Christ, don't you love it? Christ, the anointed one and his anointing has redeemed us or bought us back from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. So that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise or what the Spirit promised through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannuls and adds thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, to thy seed, which is Christ. Now, you've heard Gloria say this a lot. I have said it many, many times. I'm going to say it to you now. At the first sign of any symptom, resist it. What are we to resist? Anything that Jesus bore for us on the cross. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. If we were healed, then we are healed now, according to Scripture. So we resist sickness and disease. We resist sin. We put up a resistance in the name of Jesus. Now, two places we'll turn to. Number one will be in the book of James. And in the fourth chapter and the seventh verse. Now listen to this. Submit yourselves therefore to God. That's the first step. Father, I submit myself to you. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. It's not just resist the devil and he'll flee from you. No, he's fleeing from the name of Jesus. He's fleeing from God. Let's read it again. Let's start with verse 6. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resist the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you.
Whoa, praise God.
Now, 1 Peter chapter 5. This is huge. And the elders which were among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ. Now listen. And also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not by filthy lucre or for just to get money, but a ready mind. Neither. Now let me stop right there. Ministries need money to function. But there have been charlatans that I'm thinking of one right now, right here in the state of Texas years ago. He memorized some Spurgeon sermons, Oral Roberts sermons, and he went out preaching. I mean, people got to say, well, Brother Copeland, was it a real salvation? Well, certainly he was preaching the word. But, oh, he took up offerings. Oh, he'd stop and take up an offering. He just took up an offering. Oh, he took up offering. He got caught at it, and they put him in jail and put him in prison for fraud. But here's the big thing. He had memorized all those sermons, and he got born again in prison on his own preaching. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? But you see what he was doing? This is what the apostle was talking about. You don't do it just for offerings. You do it for the proper person. If you feed the flock of God. Now, notice he said filthy lucre. He didn't just say money, but filthy. It's for the wrong purpose and the wrong kind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. All of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Now listen, humble yourself. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. God is not, he's not against you or me or any other believer from being exalted. What is wrong is for us to attempt to exalt ourselves in order to get money and that kind of thing. And I'm thinking about another young man right now. It's really a sad situation. Anyway, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. How do you do that? Casting all your care. All right, now hang on here just a moment. Let me get the big book. All right, now that's 1 Peter. First Peter 5. Therefore, humble yourselves, demote, lower yourselves in your own estimation under the mighty hand of God, that in due time he may exalt you. Listen now. Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries. I'm reading this out of the book. This is a command. Your concerns once and for all on him, for he cares for you affectionately. Casting all that worry over on him. Stop worrying about things. Rick Renner is such a special longtime friend, he and Denise. He said he worried. If he wasn't worrying, he didn't think he was doing right. He said he worried because he wasn't worried. And he just worried and he worried and he worried. And he worried and he worried and he worried. I watched him teach this on television. And he had ulcers as a young man. And then he went to the doctor. And he's having a blood transfusion. And then somebody said something about AIDS. And he said he worried about having AIDS. Well, he got tested. He didn't have AIDS. But he said, finally, I stood on that scripture right there. And it changed his entire life and ministry. It did the same for us many, 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 many times. There was a time long years ago. And you've heard me tell this before, but it's worth reaching into right now. That there was a series of events that over a long period of time where we came to a place where we were behind $6 million on our TV bills. And I waited till about midnight the night before the board meeting because I did not want to go before that board and tell them this. So, Pastor George, and being CEO, he brought all the reports to me so I could go over them. I can just see this in my mind. The best year we've ever had. The best year we've ever had. The best year we've ever had. TV, $6 million in the red. The best year we've ever had. And the Lord said, see there, you've had the best year you've ever had and you didn't know it. And he right in here, he said, the only one that's
in bad shape is the one you tried to carry and worry about. I knew better than that. Mm. Glory had already gone to bed. So I woke her up and got her down there. I said, now look. And she looked at that. Yeah, she said. So the two of us turned to that scripture right there, and we caught hands and we cast the whole of this care over on our God. Hallelujah. And just got rid of it. Well, then that brings in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. For we walk in the for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but dunamis, powerful, through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That 6 million was a stronghold in my mind. I couldn't see any, it built up to be so big and strong. Casting down imaginations, the cross-reference says reasonings, and everything that exalted itself against the knowledge of the Word of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience. Now put in there, of thought. When your obedience is fulfilled, do not look on things after the outward appearance. Okay. So I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I will not touch that in my thought life anymore. And I'd be sitting with 6 million. No. No, no. No, no. I don't touch that. No. I don't. No, no. No, no. I don't touch that in my thought life. I noticed after a week, it wasn't nearly as much. And I just get mean about it. I said, no, devil, no, you're not putting that in my mind. No, no, that's God's problem, not mine. Why? Because the words, this same apostle said, we walk by faith and not by sight. Glory to God. I said, we have it. Glory to God, we have it by faith. All right. It was in record time. Up to that time, we had paid that TV bill in 2 installments each month. That 6 million was wiped out. And if you hear Pastor George say it, I mean every day, the whole staff, every day, I mean, they're praising God for it. And after that, we paid it in one bill. It surpassed what we were behind in and came out to victory. Glory to God, hallelujah. So, now then, we keep talking about faith. Let's go over here to Romans 3. I want you to listen to this. Romans 3:27. Let's go back up here, verse 24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. Faith. We keep talking about faith. To declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, one translation said, through the blotting out. Now, we're in Romans. Chapter 3. Verse 27. Then what becomes of our pride and our boasting? It is excluded, banished, ruled out entirely. On what principle? On the principle of doing good deeds? No, but on the principle of faith. For we hold that a man is justified and made upright by faith independent and distinctly apart from good deeds and works of the law. The observance of the law has nothing to do with justification. So we're talking about the law of faith. Now, wait a minute. Let's just get over here and find out what faith is. Because here it said, the law of faith. There are fundamental laws of faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. We are not moved by what we feel or what we see. And we'll see that in just a moment. The classic amplified. Now, faith. Well, faith is now. Hope is in the future. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for. Being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. For by faith, trust, and holy fervor born of faith, the men of old had divine testimony born to them and obtained a good report. By faith we understand that the worlds during successive ages were framed, fashioned, put in order, and equipped for their intended purpose by the word of God, so that what we see was not made out of the things that are visible. No, it is made out of something you can't see. It was made out of this book. The author of the book. The Almighty God, in the beginning Elohim, created the heaven and the earth. El, God, Elohim is plural. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost created all of this. He put all this thing. I love it. Glory to God. So, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So faith, this powerful, unseen force that was born into you and into me the moment we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord of our and Savior. That very moment. And you've heard my testimony. Now, Gloria said, I'm not going out in public with you anymore. Gloria said, why? Well, it's your dirty mouth. I said, well, what the, did I say? It was such a habit. I came in from that trip that night. And the Lord put it to me. I just went and I said, yeah, I know it. He said, if you don't get right with me, you're headed for devil's hell. I said, yes, I know it. What do I do now? I heard Mrs. Taggart's voice. Mrs. Taggart was a widow, and she was just a little small lady. And she wore a black dress all the time, a little black hat with little artificial flowers in it right here. And she was our Sunday school teacher. And we let Sunday school superintendent know. You know, in the Southern Baptist Church, it's so much like school, they promote you every year. We let them know, without Mrs. Taggart, we're not coming back. So she just promoted with us. Boys, you have to ask Jesus to come into your heart. And I said, well, it sounds just as dumb as it did the first time I heard it, but here we go. Jesus, come into my heart. From that day to this, that was the first week of November of 1962. From that day until this, profanity was wiped out of my life forever. I became a new creature. I didn't know that was in the Bible, but it happened to me, and I had evidence of it. Now, you may not receive that kind of final evidence, but you believe it because of the covenant says it. The blood of Jesus ratified all the previous covenants in the first or the old covenant. So this book is blood bought, blood washed, and bought blood back. Glory to God. And all of those tabs all over this thing are healing scriptures and deliverance scriptures where you can just sit down and just go through them all. Praise God. And you can minister to healing to someone. Jesus said the believer will lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. So we need to be doing that kind of a job. So the fundamentals of faith, this powerful spiritual force. I'll give you the steps and then we'll go to another screen. How much time do I have? Thank you, Tim. The fundamentals of faith. Number one, believe it in your heart, then say it with your mouth. Mark 11, 23, Romans 10, 10, 2 Corinthians 4, 13, Luke 6, 43 to 45, Matthew 12, 35 and 37, Mark 5, 25 and 34, Matthew 21, well, see, there's more than just one or two witnesses. Number two, faith will not work in an unforgiving heart. We'll see that in a moment from Mark 11, 25. And Galatians 5, 6, and Ephesians 4, and Romans 5, 5. Abraham's blessing cannot be received with Thomas's faith. Romans 4, 17 through 20, John 20, 24 through 29, 2 Corinthians 4, 18. Faith calls things that be not as though they were. Romans 4, 17, Philippians 4, 6 through 9, Genesis 17, 1, Genesis 25, 1 and 2, the covenant and the contradiction. And Professor Stevens and I just finished a book with that title. Brother Hagin preached a message of that, and we gave him credit in our book together, The Covenant and the Contradictions. So a symptom of sickness and disease. Well, I'm healed. Well, that sickness and disease is a contradiction of the word. But the word wins. Always. Always the word wins. Now, in closing this, we'll introduce this right now in Mark chapter 5. There cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. When he saw him, fell at his feet and besought him, greatly saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay your hands on her, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him. He just went with him. So what happened? Faith put him towards Jairus' house. Now, he was right there in Capernaum. And that's where his headquarters was, there on the seaside. So, but there was always a crowd thronging him all the time. But he just went with him. So easy to receive from him, and it still is. When you follow the directions of the manufacturer's handbook, praise God. Well, Tim, that's what you do. Do you know most people don't read the book on their new car or their old car and have a flat and say, What do I do now? The first car that we provided Kelly, it was a new one. And she was real thrilled with it. I said, come on, Kelly, let's go out here in the driveway. Okay. I said, look there in the glove box and get the operator's handbook to this car. Okay. I said, now, find in the book how to open the trunk. I don't know. I said, find it in the book. So she found it in the book. I said, now, how do you get that jack and that tire out of that? Well, I don't know. I said, it's in the book. She sat down out there on the driveway and read in that book, jacked her car up, changed the tire, put another one on it, and fashioned it down. I said, now, girl, you get stuck out in the boonies somewhere, you can change your own tire because it's in the book. Amen. And we're out of time. I'll be back in just a moment.
Life situations can feel hopeless, but you, as a believer in Christ Jesus, have a life force that lives inside you. In the Miraculous Love Package, including the book by Kenneth Copeland, Walking in the Realm of the Miraculous, He describes how you can be surrounded by God's love and walk in the miraculous in your everyday life. Partnered with the Force of Forgiveness teaching on CD or digital download, Brother Copeland explains how forgiveness is the life force for you and your family. See how forgiveness is a force that relates exactly to healing, and to forgive others is an act of faith. There are things available to us in walking in the love of God that are not available in any other way. Learn how to apply this in your family life, on the job, and in everyday life. God's love in you changes situations. Request your free copy of the Miraculous Love Package. Walk in God's love and forgiveness and make living in the supernatural and the miraculous part of your everyday life. Go to kcm.org/TV special or call 800-600-7395. This offer is good for 60 days. If you're outside the United States, shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
Thank you, everybody, for joining me today. You've heard Gloria say this many times. In consistency lies the power, or staying the same way. Stay on the Word. Stay on the Scripture. Always. Don't get away from it. A good way to feed your faith is to visit kcm.org. When you go there, this is your study center where you can put the Word of God in your eyes, your ears, and get it down into your heart. kcm.org. Listen. This was designed so that you can totally immerse yourself in the Word. But don't go there without your Bible. I mean, check everything out. You check every scripture, you check it all. In case some of us made a mistake, no, you go back to the book itself. Amen. But then you can learn and grow spiritually and become strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We'll see you again tomorrow. Until then, this is Kenneth Copeland reminding you that God loves you, we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Find out more about Kenneth Copeland Ministries and how we can help you grow in faith. Visit our website, kcm.org.